We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very happy to have back Disha Thosar of the New York Daily News, and she covers the Metropolitans. And Disha, I hope all is well and good with you and your family as well.
Oh, thank you, Steve. And thanks for having me on. All is great. I hope you're well, too.
Oh, yeah. No, everything seems to be fine. Let me ask you, because this has been a topic over the last couple of days, certainly since Sergio Romo with the Pants and with Girardi and Scherzer, and even last night with the Metropolitans with McGill having a standing ovation interrupted by the frisking. So before we start with the getting into the Metropolitans and everything with them, let me ask you what your take might be on how Major League Baseball is handling this, excuse the pun, sticky situation.
Yeah, well, to answer your question with Major League Baseball, at least, I think Rob Manfred had no idea what he was getting into when he just decided to kind of put a Band-Aid over all the PR consultants that were in his ear about the sticky substances. And the fact that he came back, I believe it was yesterday, and he told The Athletic, I think it's going very well. And that's because pitchers have their spin rates down. And, you know, that was kind of the topic at the time of when all of this began. And the problem that he is choosing to ignore on the field is kind of, it started with Girardi and the Phillies and the Nationals with Scherzer telling him, you know what, he's touching his hair too much, so let's see what's in there. And that whole scene was comical. I think it would be, you know, a little too critical to say otherwise. That sometimes in baseball, you just have to enjoy what you're seeing on the field, and that was one of them. But like you mentioned with McGill yesterday and the Mets, here's a kid that's making his major league debut and walking off to a standing ovation, and then, you know, umpires are in his face about, well, let's see your glove and your hat and your belt, and then immediately fans were booing it. And
right.
it went back to cheers, thankfully. But I think right now it's almost, I remember reading the memo 2 weeks ago when it came out, and it was like, wow, there's a lot of room for something to go wrong here. And I think this is, I couldn't put my finger on it then, but right now, as we're seeing it all unfold in kind of this half comical, half rude way, the way that we saw with McGill is kind of what I expected with this haphazard rule that Manfred just decided to throw out in the middle of a season. I think it would have been different results if he told these pitchers at the end of October, early November, hey, this is what's coming to you when the season starts next year, and, you know, just be aware of that. I think that was the route to go.
Well, do you think that with this policing that they can be, Major League Baseball with the umpires, do you think they can be more discreet? Does it have to be out there on the field? Does it have to be as many times as we are seeing with every time they leave the mound or leave the dugout to go back out to the mound? And what about pitchers coming in from the bullpen? How are they going to be checked out? Because sometimes I think that maybe Major League Baseball is trying to embarrass or shame the pitchers for not being as clean as Major League Baseball thinks they should be.
Oh, yeah. Well, the one thing I know about Rob Manfred is that anytime he gets to kind of make the players look like the bad guy, he's going to take it. And that's what's happening. I think one thing that goes under the radar here is that the umpires in this situation, right? They they did not sign up to be kind of checking these guys like their strip searches, which is what the Mets legendary broadcaster Gary Cohen said the other day of when Miguel came off. It was like, wow, he just, you know, through his first major league start, now he's being strip searched. Umpires never wanted that. It was kind of like, we're going to call the game. Now they've been put into this situation where they're asking for the hat, the glove, and the belt. And here's a hot take for you, Steve. I don't think they're very good at it. I mean, of the times that I've seen them checking pitchers, it's maybe a quick 3-second thing just to get it over with and for it to be on camera that they did it. And okay, let's move on. Let's go back to the game. And it's like, this is what it is. It's more of for the PR stunt. It's for the cameras just to say that they did it. Relievers have been getting checked. I've been watching closely, especially with the Mets relievers when they come off. And as soon as they're done with, even if it is just one outing, when they're heading back to the dugout, that's kind of when it happens right off the field. And there, to back to your question, I think there's certainly a better way to go about this. It doesn't have to be, you know, right on the edge of the first baseline, right as the inning ends, so that all of the local cameras catch it. I think, you know, especially in the case of Miguel, he should have gotten his moment and, you know, got the standing ovation from fans, and then, you know, with the human element involved, kind of check it after. But I think umpires are operating like telling pitchers, hey, we get it. I think this was even a quote from the Scherzer situation of like, just work with us, you know, don't be mad. We have to do this. You have to do this. It's like, it's kind of like they both know they're in a tough spot and they're just kind of going through it because this rule has been thrown out 2 weeks ago and now they're trying to manage as the rest of the season goes along.
Yes. And Ron Darling on the broadcast on SNY yesterday before the game, he brought up that maybe you take, in his words, a retired umpire or at least somebody who's in the dugout doing the checking in the dugout away from the crowd, because this doesn't speed up the game either. And also that maybe you have somebody in the bullpen as well to do the checking out of major view of the fans in the stands, who obviously, as we heard from last night, not very happy about the rookie making his Major League Baseball debut and getting the ovation, and then it's interrupted by the booing and all of that. So I thought the Darling had an interesting point that maybe somebody in the dugout, maybe in the bullpen, and a little bit more discreet than what we have seen.
Yeah, 100%. I think it doesn't have to be the moment the pitcher is stepping off the field as if the umpires are, you know, too busy doing something else between innings. No, they have, you know, 2 minutes to 3 minutes just to kind of sit around, take a breather. Okay, like, how about then check on them either between innings? Or that's a good point, that even while the relievers are in the bullpen. I think when this whole thing started, especially with sticky substances, the viewpoint definitely was on starting pitchers. So I think that's why this kind of band-aid solution happened so quickly, to have a focus on them so that the public can see the umpires checking and sort of everyone can be accountable, which is why it's happening in such a almost comical stage, like playwright way. But I think this might be take it all in while you can, because I don't see this continuing right when the 2022 season starts. I think by now, even MLB said, you know, they're kind of looking into some other solution, maybe already making the ball tacky before, and this sort of standardized ball. And that's kind of where baseball has to go, just kind of in a logical sense. So take all of these weird situations and these funny situations that we're seeing at face value, because it might be the last time that you can see Girardi kind of asking Max Scherzer to fight him.
Yes.
So take that with a grain of salt.
Well, we don't know if we know that nothing was found under the bill of his cap, but we certainly know Girardi got under his skin. I mean, that's for sure. If you're Tony Clark, if you're the head of the Players Association, if you're Tony Clark, and pitchers and hitters alike are all dues-paying members of the Players Association, how do you handle this if you're Tony Clark in relation to what Major League Baseball is doing right now?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've largely heard crickets from Tony Clark on this, and that I haven't really seen a huge pushback from the Players Association, and that tells me that they're not really united on this front. And I think that's kind of the leverage that MLB has in this situation, is that some hitters who might not be vocal about it are actually pissed off about these spin rates, but they're not pissed off about pitchers just having a better grip on the ball. And I think that's essentially, obviously, where this situation got out of control. So I think if I was Tony Clark, I would need kind of a unified room where all of his players union reps, at least, are in agreement. And I don't think that is the case, which is why I think we've seen kind of Rob Manfred take the blame for the craziness and him kind of be the face of all of this, because he is the one that definitely thrust them in the situation. But it's definitely not like a battle, a full-out public battle, how we saw last year before the season started in the pandemic, that, you know, we were getting statements back and forth between the players union and the league. I think this is more, he needs kind of, he's weighing, if it was Tony Clark at least, he's probably weighing multiple opinions on how to handle this issue.
Yes. You know, I was thinking here and listening to you, and we're talking with Disha Thozar, who's with the New York Daily News, covers the Mets. And we're talking about a major issue, obviously, with the pitching and with the stickiness and with umpires and with dropping the pants, the whole thing already. And it can get a little bit mushuggy. It can get a little bit crazy. There's no question about it. And we'll see how this is handled. And right in the middle of the season, as you allude to, as you mentioned, actually, baseball... I mean, with the calling out with Garrett Cole, and, you know, with the certain names being, and with Josh Donaldson, I mean, they were calling out pitchers, and I guess Major League Baseball obviously felt like it had to do something. Here's my question to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about the Mets before we let you go. And that is this: will it do any good, this policing, this frisking, this checking for the sticky stuff? Will it do any good, or will it continue with pitchers and hitters too to get the competitive advantage that each side wants to go about winning, to go about continuing careers, and to certainly go about making the good money that they can make? What do you think will come as a result of all of this Major League Baseball policing, even if they do become a little bit more efficient, even if they do become a little bit more discreet? Do you think it's going to do any good, Disha?
Well, you see, so that's an interesting question, because it matters how we define how the league is looking at good, right? In that question, it's what good are they after? Are they just looking to minimize spin rates, which is kind of what they emphasized in this league-wide memo that they sent to the press, and kind of made that their mission? It's, you know, pitchers have a competitive advantage over hitters. This is how, and this is how we're going to eliminate it. So in that sense, if the good in their eyes is just decreasing spin rate, then I don't think it's going to go beyond a sudden drop in spin rate that we're seeing right now. We've already seen drop. I think it's also interesting that you can see immediately on Baseball Savant, thanks to today's analytics, just how much the spin rates have dropped for pitchers that usually have a very high one. And some other pitchers are not even shy about it. Like Tyler Glasnow was very clear about how he tried to just grip his pitch a different way, but he ended up getting injured. So I think there are, it goes from that spectrum, pitchers like Glasnow who are making the effort, getting injured, and then they're pissed at the league for you know, having them being sidelined for however long. And then it goes to pitchers who have, like Scherzer is a good example. I think he gave an interesting answer of Girardi thought he was using a foreign substance because he was going to his hair a lot. And really, it was a cold night, and so he had to go to his hair for sweat just to grip the ball. And Girardi claimed, you know, I've never seen that from Max before, and I've watched him all these years. And then Scherzer fans were like, no, he goes to his hair pretty often. So I think if anything, the focus is really just on, we're kind of putting a spotlight, and this is, you know, in some realms, some some people think this is exactly what the league wanted, is just to put the spotlight on players. So now we're scrutinizing players. We're looking at how often they go to their glove, their hat, their hair, their belt, all of that. And meanwhile, it's kind of like, what difference is this making? Are we just seeing a spin rate drop, you know, for 2 months, and then they're going to give a tacky ball next year anyway? So this is just kind of a sideshow that was added to the 2021 season. I think all of that, obviously, time will tell. But right now, from the people that I've spoken to around the league, they all think this is just complete crap and isn't going to fix anything. And it just is turning into one of those sideshows that any really baseball season will have.
What reaction have you been getting from the Mets players, those who are not being frisked, those who are not being, patted down, as they say? What is the feeling with most of the Metropolitans, even the non-pitchers, if you have heard anything, or even in casual conversation, doing what you're doing, getting your quotes and doing your due diligence with your job covering the Mets? What is their general feeling about all of this going on?
Well, I think Pete Alonso definitely gave the most interesting theory about what he thinks this whole crackdown on sticky substances is about. He said this kind of goes back to MLB changing the ball every season. And he said he has drawn a line between free agency and the ball changing every year, in that MLB wants to kind of devalue free agency and control the class that way, which I think this is definitely, if we're ever going to call something a conspiracy theory, this is it. So it's super far-fetched, but I think to me that just shows the distrust between players and the league and what we have going into this offseason with the expiring collective bargaining agreement. So I think hitters, from my standpoint, at least have said on the Mets, because that is the team that I'm most around, that they don't care. They think pitchers can use whatever they want to get a better grip on it, and spin rate is not even in the conversation. But then again, the hitters that I'm talking to have Jacob DeGrom on their pitching staff, who absolutely dominates and is just not from this planet when it comes to pitching without sticky substances. So kind of course they're going to say that. So I think it is a different opinion when you ask Mets hitters what they think of all of this. But besides Josh Donaldson kind of taking the face of going after Gerrit Cole, I haven't heard too many other hitters publicly going out and saying, okay, yeah, I think Rob Manfred is doing the right thing. Yes. But then again, like, who would, you know, own up to that, knowing that this is such a contentious situation between the two sides?
God forbid any of us, anyone, needs to have an MRI. But if I have to have an MRI, I want the same MRI machine that is used by the Metropolitans, because it doesn't show anything ever. whether it's tightness, whether it's soreness, it never shows anything. And everybody is okay, except for whatever discomfort they've had, where they're going to miss some time, as it was with DeGrom, of course. And what is the latest? I wanted to ask you, really, first and foremost, but I had to address with the sticky stuff first, because it's been a topic for days on the radio station, and certainly I was anxious to get your thoughts and comments about it. But what is the latest with Stroman? Is he going to make his next start?
I guess right now it certainly sounds like it. What we know from Stroman is that he bounces back very quickly from some of these injuries and likes to, he's very confident and will put a lot of trust in his body that, you know, he can get over these sort of bumps and bruises. And to begin with, going back to your kind of sentiment about how Mets players are coming out and MRIs aren't showing anything, I think the Mets have been super cautious with their pitchers in particular, and their whole team to an extent this season. And Stroman did not want to come out of that his last start. Yeah. It was very evident. Yeah. And it came down to kind of James McCann, the Mets catcher, telling the Mets dug out, hey, listen, he's not even following through correctly. So whether the team was kind of trying to prevent, like, this five earned run outing for Stroman or something even worse, like an injury, I think it was probably a mix of both. But when it comes to him, it sounds like he's going to make his next start, because all we're being told right now of the prognosis is that it's soreness, and he thinks he hyperextended it when he landed off the mound. And when I spoke, we spoke to him for maybe 5 seconds in the Mets dugout the other day and kind of asked him how it's going. And he said he's working on it. And I think that was the day after he sustained kind of that he left the start early. So I would both kind of be surprised if he didn't. And then only because of how I've seen him handle Jacob DeGrom's little minor injuries, this seems like exactly one of those, but just coming from a different pitcher. And I think it's interesting that sort of we've seen, especially with Stroman as a good example, because he's been a workhorse for the Mets this season and in 2019. Once he joined them. And I think this season can just be a factor of pitchers, you know, only going 60 games last year. And so now they're having, we've passed the 60-game mark about, for the Mets at least, about 10 games ago. So this could just be those little bumps and bruises happening now because they're not used to it for 2 years now. So it might be something minor like that. And I think Jeremy Hefner has done a great job. He's very in tune with his pitchers. So if pitchers are okay with kind of that, this is why I wanted to ask you, Steve, if it's kind of shocking to you to see pitchers come out of games as early as they do, how different that is with it being a minor injury, as opposed to, you know, you expect almost the news to be very bad and significant after a pitcher leaves a start in the second inning.
Yeah, no, it's awful. And again, you know, for your first reaction is it's awful. Somebody's leaving, as Stroman did at the beginning of the second inning, meaning you got to get the bullpen to go 8 innings, and you have all these double headers coming up, and you're in the beginning of a 16-game stretch with other teams in your division and all the double headers, 3 of them in a week. And then you look at the overall picture and you wonder what the Metropolitans are going to do to fill out the rotation and also with the bullpen. No, we know that Lucchesi is out for the year. No Met fan thinks they're going to see Gazelman this year. Familia, my guess, Deesha, would be that we'll see Familia before we see some of the others. Am I close to being right about that? Or no?
Yeah, you're definitely close to me. I mean, it at least sounds that way. At least it's Familia. I think he turned it around this season for sure. He's had stressful outings, but he's turned it around. And from what I've heard, at least from Zach Scott, the Mets GM said he should return faster than Robert Gazelman. And Gazelman was always kind of this long man and innings eater for the Mets. So they're at a loss without those two for sure. But I think what will trouble them going down the line is kind of this inconsistency that we've seen from Trevor May. And he was great to start the year, and he did a great job kind of coming in the eighth inning and just being the bridge to Edwin Diaz, who has been spectacular this season. But, of course, you have to get through the innings first to even get to Diaz. And I think that has been the trouble for the Mets. So between Trevor May, who's been inconsistent, and Seth Lugo, who obviously just came back from an injury, but it was surprising to me that he wasn't used yesterday in the eighth inning. And it went to the five-out save for Diaz. And I quickly looked at when the last time he pitched was. It was only Monday, and it was one inning. So he definitely should have been in the game. When we asked Rojas why he wasn't, and he said, you know, Lugo was being saved for emergency purposes, and it was kind of one of those, it went to extra innings, it was only Seth Lugo and Drew Smith. So on one level, because their bullpen is so depleted, I understand that, but on another, it's like Edwin Diaz was more trusted for a five-out save than, you know, Lugo being the bridge to get to Diaz, and then just feeling more comfortable that way. So they're definitely depleted and taxed, and I think this is their last off day before the All-Star break. Yeah, so this is the final push of 18 games in 17 days. So
and,
after
yeah.
starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and Deesha, what is the latest? And no one brings up his name, so I'm going to bring it up. Tommy Hunter, what is with him. He was doing okay, and then he gets hurt, and we haven't heard too much about him and with what's going on with him. And are we going to see him anytime this season, do you think?
Yeah, we're really not sure. Anytime that I've asked about Tommy Hunter, at least, it's kind of been an answer that can compare to what we get from Carlos Carrasco, in that there clearly is not much progression, but it's kind of like this fluffy answer of, oh, he's doing well and he has a history, at least with Tommy Hunter, he has a history of lower back pain, and that's all we've gotten on him. So he, as far as I know, has not progressed enough that he is even in the picture right now, even though he was so good for the Mets bullpen, especially last month. But I think right now he's not a body that can exactly be counted on. They've kind of shifted the spotlight to Dellin Betances, who looks like he might be coming back at the end of this month or early next. And all that Mets fans have seen from him this season is one outing, and it was not good. Mm-hmm. And then he landed on the IL with this injury in his right shoulder. So I think it would be interesting. Of course, it always goes back to Betances, his velocity, what people saw from him while he was at the Yankees. Kind of, I think fans have, they know that he's not coming back because he's not going to throw triple-digit fastballs. But even if he, found another way to be consistent, which is what I saw from him in spring training this year, it was kind of encouraging in a surprising way that he was able to use his whole toolbox and still be effective. And of course, we didn't see enough from Betances this season. It was literally one relief appearance before he hit the aisle. So I think if he's, going to come back to help the bullpen, we might see him be in one of those Gonzalez roles, and that's kind of what they're pushing toward now instead of Tommy Hunter, who doesn't seem close to coming back.
And no one of late has seen any raccoons. No one has seen any rats. And it, it does seem that it's so good to have McNeil back in the lineup and Conforto. And last night, now it was only one game, but it certainly worked with McNeil leading off, Lindor batting number two, and Conforto, first pitch he saw, DJ, as you know, a screaming double, and he was so happy to be back. But those top three, I mean, they were getting on base, they got hits with the Lindor with the home run. And that is something I think we would like to see. Again, it's only one game, so. But with McNeil leading off and Lindor number two and Conforto batting number three, you think we're going to see this again and soon?
Yeah, it's funny because we should be talking about top four, top five, because after the names you just listed is Pete Alonso and Dominic Smith.
Yes.
And at least all five of those, we went into the season kind of expecting this huge offensive production. And these are the guys on paper that you expect to perform kind of like we saw last night with those top three. Pete Alonso definitely has not been the same as his 2019, at least last full season of his 53 home runs. But I think that's kind of the vision and that's kind of the hope, especially with all five of those guys pitching. But just to begin with, if it's those three, it was so refreshing last night to see Conforto and McNeil back in the lineup with Lindor sandwiched between them. And that's not even including, Brandon Nimmo yet, who is due back.
Yes.
The Mets think sometime next week. So really, when you look at this offense on paper, it has always been impressive. And that's why the Mets were projected way back in spring training, which now seems like forever ago, that they would lead the NL East in offensive categories. And they certainly have not. They're 29th in runs scored per game. And it's been, of course, because of the injuries, it's just been underwhelming and disappointing. But I think given all of those factors, that guys are coming back, and even with Conforto, he wanted to return sooner because he saw McNeil jump back into the lineup sooner. And the injured guys have only, they're just drooling to get back into this lineup and be included in this first-place team. I think fans forget, the Mets are in first place by four games. And, of course, this is an important week that they're going into because they're playing the Phillies, who are right in the mix. So things can change quickly. But from the character that we've seen from them and sort of this expectation that guys are going to hit the way that we expect them to, and it hasn't even started yet. I think there's a lot of hope for the Mets, and of course, because of everything that's happened to this franchise for so many years, there's reason to believe it won't, and there's, of course, factors to believe that it won't. But I think this year simply is different, and we've seen many reasons why it is.
Adisha, we're out of time. What a great spot. And I look forward to the very next time we could talk a little baseball, a little Metropolitan baseball. Informative and interesting and just a terrific spot. And I cannot thank you on this Thursday night for giving us as much time as you once again have given us. So very much appreciated. You're a terrific read and terrific on the radio, if I may say so. And I can't thank you enough.
Thank you so much, Steve. Listen, I'm the lucky one. I appreciate every time I've gotten to come on, so anytime.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.